Welcome to the summer 2018 edition of Community Health, caring for you close to home, provided by the Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. The NHS, a national treasure. Happy birthday to our beloved NHS, an institution that manages every single day to deliver some of the best healthcare in the world, sometimes in challenging conditions. You cannot fail to have noticed that 2018 is the 70th anniversary of the creation of the NHS. So we have dedicated this issue of community health to celebrating all that is great. From the changing face of public health, initially more concerned with preventing infectious diseases than encouraging people to give up smoking, to the everyday miracles taking place in our community hospitals as we work hard to get people home safely and sooner. Community health has always played a part in the NHS. It's not just the skills of people delivering healthcare services which play a massive role in getting patients fit and well. It's the personalities behind those professionals. So we meet more of at Team KCHFT. Sadly, it's likely there will always be some medical conditions that cannot be cured, and that is where end-of-life care is so very important. Martin Page has motor neuron disease. He knows it's terminal, but he is making the most of every second. Here's to the next 70 years of working together, looking after people's health. Enjoy, Faye. From the editor Faye Sinclair, 01622 211 947 or email faye.sinclair1@nhs.net. Our features: Public Health Journey, the changing face of public health. It runs in the family, two generations of health visitors at work. Humans of the NHS, meet the people who make it what it is. Immunisations, one of the greatest impacts on the world's health. It's all about community, then and now in our hospitals. One man's climb, Martin's life with motor neuron disease. You can read our magazine online, www.kentcht.nhs.uk/magazine. Follow us on Facebook, Kent Community Health, tweet us at NHSKentCHFT, or like us on LinkedIn. If you would like to advertise in this magazine, please phone Charlotte Morgan on 01622 211 940 or write to us. Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, The Oast, Hermitage Court, Hermitage Lane, Barming, Maidstone, Kent ME16 9NT. The Team, Editor-in-Chief Julia Rogers, 01622 211 946, email juliarogers1@nhs.net. News editor Chloe Crouch, designers the communications team, contributors Joe Trahan, Anna Hind and Beverly Bryant.
Your shout. We love it when you tell us what you think. There are many ways you can feedback to help us improve services or get involved. Burtzorg is breath of fresh air. I was thrilled to read the article about the Burtzorg pilot in your autumn issue, September 2017. I retired from district nursing in the 1990s, having spent all my working life in the community. The Burtzorg method of caring is surely the best way forward. You have to work closely with the patient, social care, nursing, and all aspects of the community. It was a great joy to run our own caseloads, and we made our decisions with the patient and their carers. Please continue with this method. There may be many fights on the way, but what a worthwhile cause. J. True, Aylesford. Whitstable's Friendly Neighbourhood Care Team. Thanks to you all for the excellent care I am receiving, and as a result, the support my husband has from you. Every nurse, without exception, has been kind, considerate, and caring. If I have been ill with sickness or pain, or there is a problem with my syringe driver, the response has been rapid and effective. The nurses have worked hard to make sure any issues with pharmacy or the GP, which might lead to lack of available medicines, are quickly resolved and that dosages are correct. Thank you again for the wonderful job you do. We are so grateful. Mr. and Mrs. Saunders, Whitstable. A win for common sense and kindness. My daughter has been trying to get a referral for a bad ingrown toenail for the past few years. For some reason, it was bounced around and lost several times. During this time, my daughter could not do school activities and was in constant pain. I checked the NHS sites and found KCHFT Podiatry and called the team. I spoke to two lovely, understanding ladies called Claire and Janet, who listened to me and helped. My daughter was due to start her exams, and having the pain of an ingrowing infected toe was not helping her concentration. We were allowed to sit and wait for a cancellation, and the clinical staff did a fantastic job. All the people involved in my daughter's care were outstanding. They were professional, they listened, and were empathetic. They came to work that day with common sense and a great attitude. They understood the needs of our daughter, which wasn't just a painful clinical condition, but was affecting her schoolwork and would have affected her exam results. And in no small terms, she needs good results to move forward in life. Thank you. J. Hall, Herne Bay. Get involved. Want to have your say? Contact our customer care team. Phone 0300 123 1807. Text 07899 903 499. Email kcht.cct@nhs.net. Want to volunteer for us? Want to help out? To find out more about volunteering with us, contact Maria on 01474 360508. Email maria.swaby@nhs.net or Caroline on 01795 418 300 or email caroline.weeler@nhs.net. Want to become a member? If you'd like to become a member of our trust, visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/FT and fill in the online form. You can also phone 01233 667 827 or email kcht.membership@nhs.net to request a membership form.
Community health news. Getting patients up, dressed and moving is key to recovery. Getting our community hospital patients up, dressed and moving is a goal our teams work towards every day because we know it helps people to recover faster. That's why we took part in the national NHS-wide 70-day challenge to end PJ paralysis. All 8 of our community hospitals recorded how many patients the teams managed to get up, dressed and moving using the app. The aim was to achieve 1 million patient days of patients being up, dressed and mobilised across the country during the challenge. Here at KCHFT, getting patients home faster because they recover more quickly at home is not new to us. It's exactly what our Home First project is all about. Similarly, our clothing bank appeal was launched to provide donations of new clothes for patients to help those admitted without any clothing get dressed and moving. A study has shown that 60% of older patients had no medical reason that required bed rest, and 10 days in bed in hospital leads to the equivalent of 10 years ageing in the muscles of people aged over 80. Research also showed that a 50% increase in walking while in hospital was associated with a 6% shorter length of stay. If you would like to donate to our clothes bank appeal, you can drop new clothes at our hospital receptions or with our volunteers at the League of Friends shops. Community hospitals accepting clothes are Deal, Edenbridge, Faversham, Hawkhurst, Herne Bay, Sevenoaks, Tunbridge and Whitstable and Tankerton. Customer care to patient liaison. The customer care team has changed its name to the Patient Advice and Liaison Service, PALS. The change is to make it easier for people contacting us and to bring the name into line with other healthcare organisations in the area. Contact details are the same for the team, apart from the email address, which is now kentcht.pals@nhs.net. You can find out more at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/PALS. Delivering immunisations. KCHFT will be delivering immunisations to children and young people in Kent and Medway later this year. We worked hard to put together a strong bid and won a 5-year contract starting on the 1st of August 2018. We already provide the immunisation service in Kent and flu jabs in Medway. It will enable us to build on work we have already done with partners and stakeholders, including community organisations, schools and local authorities. Online help for families. If you or your teenager needs advice and support on all aspects of child health and wellbeing, we've got a new website for parents and children in Kent. It is part of our school health service and can help support families to stay fit and active, eat well and focus on their emotional and mental health. Find it at www.kentyouthhealth.nhs.uk. Richard helps out as chairman. KCHFT's Vice Chair Richard Field has temporarily stepped into the shoes of Chair David Griffiths, who retired in May. Richard has been a non-executive director at KCHFT for 7 years. Richard said, having worked closely with David as his Vice Chair, "I am pleased to undertake this role until his successor can be appointed. I will continue to help the Trust put patients and staff at the heart of what we do." Becoming connected. Free patient Wi-Fi is now available on all 8 of our community inpatient hospital wards and in the minor injury units the Trust manages at Sittingbourne and Sheppey hospitals. We are aiming to roll out free patient Wi-Fi to all outpatient areas by April 2019. It will show up as NHS Wi-Fi on wireless devices. Health visitors support breastfeeding. Our health visiting service has taken over responsibility for supporting Kent mums to breastfeed. The teams will make sure there continues to be professional, peer and specialist support for women who want to breastfeed their babies and need extra help. Head of Health Visiting, Irene Sanuke, said, "This builds on the work we already do and provides an opportunity for us to improve our offer to families, as health visiting is available to every family with a child of preschool age. We're looking forward to working with children's centres and volunteer peer supporters too. As well as personal support from health visitors, the new service includes 36 weekly dropping sessions across Kent, specialist lactation consultant clinics and support for breastfeeding groups. The service welcomes new peer supporters too. For more information, please visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/kentbaby. Revamped car park will make a difference. A £500,000 project to improve the car park at Sevenoaks Hospital has been completed, making it easier and safer for people to use. The work by NHS Property Services has involved resurfacing 2 car parks, reconfiguring spaces and infrastructure to improve traffic flow through the site and marking pedestrian routes for patients. Apprenticeship win in awards. 2 of our apprentices scooped top places in the annual Apprenticeship Awards. Congratulations to Terry Wood, Education and Workforce Development Personal Assistant, who won the Higher Apprentice of the Year category, and to Amber Doughty, Education and Workforce Development Administrator, who was runner-up in Ambassador of the Year category.
Thumbs up for positive partnerships. Donation helps referrals team. A specialist clinical services referral point is now up and running at Whitstable and Tankerton Hospital after a generous donation from the League of Friends. Project manager Chris Walker said, "We are extremely grateful to the League of Friends because it helped towards the project, donating more than £6,800. The team now takes all phone calls and referrals for lymphedema, diabetes, continence, TB and epilepsy services, specialist conditions. Combined, these services have 13,500 open referrals, so the five team members are kept taking initial referrals, giving advice and booking first appointments. Call 0300 123 3167 or email kentcht.scs.referralpoint@nhs.net. Checks at the library. What a novel idea. It wasn't just books available when our health checks team popped in to give some top tips to library visitors. The team went to Sittingbourne, Faversham and Queenborough Libraries as part of an outreach programme. Sittingbourne Library customer service assistant Michelle Willard discovered she had incredibly low blood pressure, but it was good news for her cholesterol result. She said, "I've never had my cholesterol tested, so it was nice to hear that's okay. I do have a tendency to put on weight, but I've been dealing with some emotional things in my life recently and I turned to comfort eating as a result." Health Check's outreach advisor, Gonzalo Echeverri, said, "Michelle needs to take time to fit in another exercise each week and vary her fruit and vegetables." The team saw an average of 10 people per day at each library, which Gonzalo described as fantastic. These sessions in Swale have been a real success, so we will definitely be back again soon. Topics included blood pressure, cholesterol levels, lifestyle advice and support. The Health Checks team can also refer people to their GP for further checks and tests if necessary. Ferry Firm on board for health and well-being. We have teamed up with P&O Ferries to offer health checks, smoke-free sessions and weight loss groups as part of the company's drive to improve the health and well-being of employees. Our Health Checks team has worked with P&O Ferries for more than 6 months, offering health checks to staff and crew on the Dover to Calais route. The scheme has been well received, and for assistant buyer Samantha Salvage, life-changing. It was thanks to one of these health checks Sam discovered her blood pressure was dangerously high and unstable. She said, "While I naively thought that because I ate well and exercised, I was relatively healthy, the NHS Health MOT revealed an underlying medical issue. I would never have known this. Following lots of tests, I've been put on medication, which unfortunately is long-term and likely for life. However, it's a small price to pay for being well. My first month of being on the medication has made the world of difference. I am very grateful to KCHFT's health advisors, and it was great to be able to get the health check while at work." Ship chefs are food champions. To complement the health and well-being advice, six chefs on board P&O Ferries have been cooking up a healthy storm in the canteen. Gone are steamed puddings and pies. Now it's all about grilled meat, fresh salad, fruit, and meals lower in salt, fat, and sugar. It's all thanks to our Food Champion course that changes have been made. The chefs attended one of KCHFT's Food Champion courses, which addresses practical cooking tips, basic nutrition, healthy eating and understanding food labels. After successfully completing the two-day course, participants receive Association for Nutrition certificate. Working hard to transform care for people with complex needs. Plans to transform the way we care for people with complex health needs are beginning to take shape across the county, but we need you. We've been looking at how we support older people with a range of complex conditions, such as diabetes, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or heart disease. As part of our local care plans, we aim to bring together health and social care to improve care for people outside of a main hospital and close to where you live. Kathy Bellman, local care lead, explained, "This year, our focus will be on developing strong, effective, multidisciplinary teams made up of GPs, nurses, therapists, social workers and other specialists, which work closely with GP practices to provide better care to you," In some places, these teams will work from hubs, buildings where you'll find a wider range of community, mental health, social care and wellbeing services, plus outpatient clinics and diagnostics. We haven't decided yet where these will be. For example, some hubs could be your community hospital. We are talking to patients, partners and members of the public and looking at a number of factors, such as transport, to help decide. So make sure you have your say. We will be giving you lots of opportunities to get involved. We know it's difficult sometimes to find the right person to talk to or to access the right services. Each team will also have an individual who will be the key contact to help organise your care and bring together a wider range of people to support you. This may mean prescribing or suggesting activities like walking clubs, self-help groups, or singing to help with people's overall health and well-being. These plans follow our work last year when we shared our vision for developing stronger local care by working with partners in health, social care, mental health, district and borough councils. We are also looking to improve care for other groups of patients too. Find out more at www.kentandmedway.nhs.uk/get involved. Investing in the future. The NHS in Kent and Medway is to receive up to £19.5 million to invest in capital projects to improve healthcare. Five projects in Kent and Medway will receive money to improve and join up services as part of the Investment in Sustainability and Transformation Partnerships, STPs. Thanet, £2.5 million to develop a healthcare hub in Margate. Folkestone, Hythe, Dover and Deal, up to £1.5 million for a new primary care service. Medway, up to £8.5 million for a new Chatham Health and Wellbeing Centre, up to £6 million to develop Strood Health and Wellbeing Centre, and up to £1 million to create an urgent treatment centre at the front entrance of the Medway Maritime Hospital. Watch these. Want to know more about how the new teams will work? Watch our film at www.kentandmedway.nhs.uk/local care. Baffled by the jargon? We know the language we use can be confusing. Search Patiently Confused on our Vimeo or YouTube channels. We'll be asking for your help to make sure the terms we use are easy to understand. Check for updates on the website.
New frailty teams to keep vulnerable at home. A new frailty team has been set up to support elderly patients in Canterbury and Ashford who are at risk of admission or readmission to hospital. The teams, which will support community hubs and work with the multidisciplinary teams described earlier, are made up of consultants, therapists and healthcare assistants. We've been working with clinical commissioning groups and Health Education England to create new trainee advanced clinical practitioner ACP roles as part of the team, who will study for an accredited ACP qualification at Canterbury Christchurch University while they work. Medical Director Dr. Sarah Phillips said, "The team will see patients in hospital and in their homes and coordinate care with members of the MDT, hospital and community, as well as provide support to care homes to keep people well at home." Volunteers worth their weight in gold. We've been awarded the Revamp Quality Mark to show we are at the forefront of excellent volunteer management in Kent. Alex Krutniks from the Canterbury and Herne Bay Volunteer Centre said, "We were impressed by the quality of the volunteering experience, the support in place, plus the very thorough induction and training programme. The value volunteers added to teams caring for patients was highlighted at an event to thank 500 plus people who regularly give up their time to help out. Last year, our volunteer army contributed more than 36,000 hours supporting patients, carers and staff. Want to join us? Find out how at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/volunteer. Geriatrician Specialist represents Kent in NHS Birthday Awards. Community Consultant Geriatrician Sheila O'Riordan has been named as a winner in the NHS 70 Parliamentary Awards for the South East England. Dr O'Riordan won the South East Person-Centred Care Champion Award after being nominated by MP for Faversham and Mid-Kent, Helen Whateley. Helen Whateley's nomination said, "Sheila has championed multidisciplinary team working and inspired others to work in a more integrated way for the benefit of patients. Her work is clearly having an impact, with reductions in the amount of time people are spending in hospital." KCHFT's Chief Operating Officer, Leslie Strong, said, "Dr O'Riordan is a champion of our Home First programme because she's passionate about getting patients home faster. She understands how much quicker they recover at home. We're extremely proud of her work." Dr O'Riordan added, "Anything I have achieved has been because I have worked with amazing teams in Faversham Cottage Hospital and with our new community frailty team. I'm determined to improve services we provide to frail older people in East Kent, putting them at the centre of any plan we make." David says goodbye to fried food and hello to a healthy life. Oven-baked dinners are now on the menu for David Beek, who has lost an incredible 5 stones after completing our Fresh Start programme. The former farm worker from Selling near Faversham was referred to our One New Lifestyle Advisors by the Job Centre. He told our lifestyle advisor, Joe Attrell, his goals were to improve his diet and take more exercise. Both would enable him to achieve his goal of getting back into work. Joe carried out a health MOT and suggested the Fresh Start programme as a way to kickstart the changes David wanted to make. He also attended 6 sessions with the Health Trainer Service, which helped him to put his newfound knowledge about healthy eating to the test and supported him along the way. David said, "That first time Joe took my blood pressure, it was really high, any higher, and I would have been taken off in the ambulance. It was a wake-up call and I decided to start listening to my body. I've always fried most of my food, but now everything is oven-baked. I've also stopped drinking alcohol and I take a lot of walks. Sometimes I walk for nearly 3 hours." David lost 2 stones, going from 160 kilograms to 151 kilograms, during the 12-week Fresh Start programme, and has continued to lose weight since completing it. His weight loss has been so successful, Joe didn't recognise him when she recently saw him in Faversham. She said, "I couldn't believe how different David looked. He is a credit to himself. At 160 kilograms, he was at risk of developing other health issues, so it is great he has embraced a healthier lifestyle. David is fitter, healthier, and has reduced his risk of developing type 2 diabetes. I'm so proud of him and his achievement." One of David's top tips for eating healthier is to follow and shop by the colour codes on supermarket packaging. He said, "I look for products that are green and orange. I've been encouraging my friends to do the same too, as they've been impressed with my weight loss." Grant given for targeted health programme. A project dedicated to improving the health of people from migrant communities will start later this year after an award from the government. Kent Community Health, NHS Foundation Trust and Kent County Council will receive £853,106 from the Ministry of Housing, Communities and Local Government to improve access to healthcare. The 2-year project, which begins in September, will enable a greater focus on improving the health of people and families from the Roma community in Kent. Claire Poole, KCHFT's Community Services Director for Public Health, said, "It's a huge achievement to receive this money and we are very excited to start work. We are delighted to work on something that will benefit patients and families in Kent. By building on already established relationships, we will continue to reduce health inequalities. Many families are not registered with a GP or dentist and there is low uptake of health visitor support for child development reviews. The project includes training for health and social care professionals to understand the significant cultural differences and challenges facing people from migrant communities. It also includes short-term funding for a small dedicated team of health visitors, school nurses and health improvement specialists to provide care to this hard-to-reach population." Kent County Council's Deputy Director of Public Health, Alison Duggall, said, "The bid was based on health needs assessments carried out by our public health team, which identified, for example, low childhood immunisation rates and poor dental care." Part of the NHS family. It's easy to forget sometimes the people who treat you, care for you or lead our NHS services are the ones who use it too. Our experiences of the NHS often help shape the things we are most passionate about, as Julia Rogers found out when she spoke to Chief Executive Paul Bentley. Paul Bentley admits that his life without the NHS is unrecognisable. Not just because he has worked in it, but because it saved the lives of his triplets, now 26, who were born prematurely. And he truly believes his son, who is a long-term service user, would not be the remarkable man he is without it. The 53-year-old said, "I've been asked what the NHS means for me as we approach the 70th anniversary, and I can honestly say it is something that is unique and which I am both very proud of and indebted to. As a chief executive, husband to a wife who works in the service, father to a daughter who is a junior doctor, and father to a son who is a service user, my life without the NHS is unrecognisable. The NHS has looked after my family at every step, from frequent visits to A&E when the children were growing up, putting their hands through glass windows, sticking zip fasteners in their ears, you know the thing, to giving my daughter, now 26, one of the most prized roles a person could have, to be trusted to care for patients. It's enabled me to be the chief executive of an organisation which provided care and support for more than 2 million people last year. It does so very well, and that is something I'm so very proud of." Paul started work in the NHS in 1987 in King's College Hospital in South London. At the time, it served some of the most deprived communities in London. He said, "I grew up as part of a mining family and I'm very proud of my heritage. There was and still is a bond between the mining communities and therefore Nye Bevan's creation of the NHS feel consistent with the values which were part of my childhood. During my career, I have been really lucky to have travelled, worked and studied in a number of countries in the world. When you do that, you get to experience their health system and realise just what a wonderful thing we have. I've worked in Wiltshire, Surrey and now Kent, and what makes the NHS a special institution it is the people who work in it. Sometimes we all have a moan about the NHS and what it could do better or how it should be, but these are reflections of the people who want it to be better, and like me, think a country without it is unthinkable. Besides being a dad, doing this role is the best job in the world. I can't complain about the long hours when we have so many NHS staff working through the night, going to extraordinary efforts. And when I open a letter from a patient explaining so sincerely about how one of our teams has changed their lives for the better, it reminds me what a privilege it is. So I wish this unique thing a very happy birthday, and look forward to the next 70 years.
Working to make us healthier. The idea of public health has changed quite a lot since 1948, as Joe Trahany discovered. In the first few years after the Second World War, public health was seen as the prevention of infectious diseases, such as flu, typhoid, and cholera. Cleanliness and sanitation, combined with advances in immunisations against diseases like polio and smallpox, and better care in pregnancy and infancy, meant the general population was able to live longer, healthier lives. If people took government advice, that is. Public health campaigns in the 1940s and 50s were mainly concerned with issues such as not spreading germs on public transport, cover your mouth, and making sure you had up-to-date vaccinations or take up screening for tuberculosis when offered. In the 1960s and 70s, public health campaigns started to include unhealthy behaviours such as smoking. Research into lifestyle-related conditions, for example lung cancer and heart disease, began to gather steam. In 1965, TV adverts for cigarettes were banned. Print adverts weren't banned until the 1980s, however. Obesity wasn't so much of an issue then as now, but the government made attempts in the 1970s and 80s to promote healthy eating and advised people to reduce their alcohol intake. The 1980s and 90s saw a real increase in the amount of anti-smoking campaigns. In December 1980, a campaign aimed at primary school children was launched by the Health Education Council. The campaign pitted cartoon superhero Superman against a newly invented supervillain, nicotine. By the time the campaign ended in 1982, more than 800,000 children had requested posters, stickers, and badges produced by the HEC, although they did offer a chance to win a rally bicycle, so this may have been an incentive. Despite this success, Superman vs. Nicotine remains the last ever national anti-smoking campaign aimed at children, with all subsequent work focusing on adults, with additional focus on pregnancy and smoking around children. This decade has seen more emphasis on healthy eating and physical activity, as conditions related to obesity, including type 2 diabetes, dementia, some cancers, and heart disease, increase. In fact, obesity in the UK has trebled since the 1980s. Change for Life was launched in 2009 to encourage healthy eating and activity for families with young children. It is still going strong, with new campaigns launched, including 100 calorie snacks and sugar swaps. Most recently, One You was launched in 2016 to encourage people to move more, be smoke-free, eat healthier food, and cut down on alcohol. One You emphasises positive aspects of a healthier lifestyle, not dwelling on health issues related to unhealthy activities. During 70 years of public health campaigning, focus has shifted from information to education, attempting to support and galvanise people into changing behaviour through positive messaging. Anne Ford, Assistant Director for Health Improvement at KCHFT, said, "We've seen lots of changes over the years in the approach to public health campaigns. We're a big part of the One You programme here in Kent, providing smoke-free, weight loss and lifestyle advice sessions. We are really making a difference to people's lives." Timeline. 1948, first day of the new National Health Service. 1948, World Health Organization established. 1955, first UK television advert airs for S.R. Gibbs toothpaste. 1956, by this year, all children are offered vaccination against whooping cough, polio, TB and diphtheria. 1956, Clean Air Act introduced. 1962, Royal College of Physicians publishes report linking smoking to lung cancer communications use advertising and journalistic methods. 1965, TV adverts for cigarettes banned. 1967, Abortion and Family Planning Acts revolutionise sexual health. 1971, Donor card for kidneys introduced. 1980, Black Report finds higher mortality rates for lower socio-economic groups. 1983, wearing seatbelts in all cars made compulsory. 1983, HIV virus identified. 1986, government launches national education campaign about HIV and AIDS. 1987, Guidance on Sensible Drinking published, 21 units for men, 14 for women per week. 1988, Measles, Mumps and Rubella, MMR, vaccine introduced. 1998, false claims about risks of the MMR vaccine lead to drop in vaccination rates. 2003, 5-a-day campaign launches. 2007, ban on smoking in all enclosed spaces. 2008, government launches first campaign to reduce rising rates of obesity. 2015, displays of cigarettes banned for all shops, smoking in cars with children banned. The changing population since 1948. Smoking prevalence. 1948, men 65%, women 41%. 2018, men 17%, women 14%. Source, Health Protection Agency. Obesity. 1975, earliest record, 10% of women are obese, 7% of men are obese. Now, latest record, 2016, 29% of women are obese, 27% of men are obese. Living. 1940s, average life expectancy, men 63 years, women 68 years. Infant mortality, 57 deaths per 1,000 live births. Average family size, 2.36 children. Now, average life expectancy, men 79 years, women 83 years. Infant mortality, 3.6 deaths per 1,000 live births. Average family size, 1.7 children.
Helping families is at the heart of health visiting. They say lightning doesn't strike twice, but it did in the Bowen family when in 1921, young Caroline Blanche Bowen was among the first wave of health visitors to start work in this new field. In 1991, Sarah Charlesworth followed in her grandmother's footsteps as a health visitor for the NHS. Faye Sinclair went to meet her. There may have been a 70-year gap between when Sarah Charlesworth and her grandmother started out as health visitors, but the fundamental values of the service haven't changed very much. Caring for babies, young children and parents. However, the way that care is given is very different. As a child, Sarah hadn't considered health visiting as a career, although she was aware her grandmother Blanche had trained as a general nurse at Bart's Hospital. Sarah, who works in Tunbridge Wells, said, "Granny died when I was 9 or 10, and I didn't know that she had been a health visitor until my mum gave me her certificates. Dad was excited about me doing nursing and saw it as a great vocational training, although I think he was a little peeved that I chose Guy's and not Bart's to train." Sarah from Goudhurst is married with two grown-up daughters. She trained at Guy's Hospital and lived in London for 5 years. After completing 2 years of gynaecological nursing, Sarah trained as a health visitor at Southbank Polytechnic, moving back to Kent where she grew up when her first daughter Emily was born. She has worked for KCHFT and its predecessors since 1997. Health visiting is a job she loved when she started and still does now. "I think I was attracted to health visiting because as a gynaecological nurse, I only got to see a glimpse of people and I wanted a bit more involvement with families." By the time Sarah decided to become a nurse, her grandmother had died. Blanche had given up working after her marriage and had moved to India to live, so she never knew that her granddaughter had taken a similar path. When Blanche trained as a health visitor, she was one of the first cohorts to do so. Before qualifying, she was a sanitary inspector. When Granny worked as a health visitor, it was very much about improving the sanitary conditions of where people lived, inspecting the conditions in people's homes, very much trying to raise the health standards a little bit, Sarah said. Blanche was also trained in midwifery, working in some of the poorest areas of London for much of her career. Today, much of Sarah's work is centred on supporting families with a new baby or child up to the age of 5. Health visitors work with families to develop individual family health plans, providing advice and support on growth, physical and emotional development and learning through play, breastfeeding, introducing solid foods and healthy eating, immunisations, common infections, skin problems and minor illnesses in children, challenges such as teething, temper tantrums, sleeping, eating and toilet training, postnatal depression, bereavement and violence in the family, and reducing accidents in the home. Sarah said, I say time and time again, the reason I'm still a health visitor after all these years is that I do not want to lose contact with the families I support. It's the heart of what we do. A short history of health visiting. In 2012, it was 150 years since the first health visitor was employed in Salford, Manchester. The first health visitors, employed by a local council, developed from the role of ladies' sanitary inspector, known as sanitary visitors. These roles were primarily to promote health and provide health education, working with families and infants, just like today. The development of infant welfare clinics, predecessor to child health clinics, started in the early 20th century, when health visiting became a statutory provision. You can find out more about the health visiting service that KCHFT offers at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/health visiting.
The NHS is 70. The NHS is 70 on 5th of July, and it's the perfect opportunity to celebrate the achievements of the past 70 years. But more importantly, our extraordinary staff, the everyday heroes, the people who are there to guide, support and care for our patients, day in, day out. We've been talking to the people who work for KCHFT, discovering the stories behind the uniforms and the passions that drive people to make a difference. These are our heroes, the humans that make up the NHS. I worked for the London Ambulance Service for 12 years. I spent 6 of them on trucks as an emergency medical technician. It was fun and a laugh every single day, which seems like an unusual thing to say because we would see absolutely horrendous things. But ask any ambulance crew and they would say the same. Every day you might witness the worst things people could do to each other, or the worst that could happen to a person. So having a sense of humour about the job became our coping mechanism. I wouldn't want to go back, but I do miss it. Beverly, Engagement Manager. I moved from India to the UK in 1991 to further develop my career. I'd trained as an occupational therapist in India and applied to the UK, America and Singapore. But the UK working visa was the first to come back. I thought I'd give it a go, and I've no regrets. The NHS has been fantastic for me and my wife. She works for NHS England. The sky is the limit for our careers. Work-life balance is also good, and that's important to me. I'm not interested in money. Helping others is what drives me forward. Eventually, we both want to return to India because we want to use our skills to give something back to less well-off communities. A relaxing retirement is not for us. We are passionate about making a difference. Anuraj, Head of South East Drivability. The young adults I work with have shown me that with patience and understanding, they can make progress. Young adults seem to respond to me, and I believe it's because I'm genuine and transparent. I do not judge them, but make sure they know I'm there to help if they are in need. Children and young people are the most important asset in our communities, and we need to support them to improve their physical and emotional well-being. After all, they are the grown-ups of tomorrow. Justine, School Nurse. Before joining the NHS, I was in the army for 12 years as a driver and regimental medical assistant. I did 3 tours of Belfast during the Troubles and drove ambulances for 2 of these. I lived in Germany when I left the army, as I didn't want to come back to the UK immediately. It was the German job centre that suggested I study to be a physiotherapist. It is the best thing I have done since the army, and I'm so glad I took the leap. Tony West, Learning Disabilities Physiotherapist. Looking back, I knew I was a lesbian from a young age, but didn't know what it meant. I didn't even know anyone who was gay. I am from a very big extended family. We were raised quite strictly as Jews, attended synagogue, and I speak and read Hebrew. Sexuality wasn't a topic we discussed as a family. Being out for me is the only way I know how to be. Be yourself, whoever you are. Authenticity is everything. Ali, Chief Nurse.
I qualified as a doctor in India. I had an interest in genetics and infectious diseases. When I came to the UK, the roles I ended up taking were in HIV. A lot of patients ask me why HIV medicine. The truth is, it's a really progressive science, and I love this line of work. The treatment is constantly progressing, and so are people's attitudes. People with HIV now have a similar life expectancy and quality of life to people without the infection. That's a huge step forward. Rajesh, clinical lead and consultant in HIV and sexual health. I went to uni at 43 as a mature student. It was so scary. It was daunting and really hard in the first year, but I'm glad I did it. I started in A&E and then went out to Saudi Arabia to get more trauma experience. That was an eye-opener. Women couldn't drive there, but 10-year-old boys could, so you can imagine the trauma I was seeing. In the end, it became too much, and I came home earlier than I planned. Wendy, ward sister. I'm a bit of a Heinz 57 baby. I have family and ancestry all over the world, and I'm part Portuguese and South African. I was born in South Africa, and after my mother remarried, we moved to Zimbabwe when I was 7. This was right in the middle of Mugabe's war, and it became so bad we had to leave. The horror was unimaginable, but I was young, so it didn't seem real to me. 2 days before we left, guerrillas shot down a plane that was leaving and killed everyone on board. Our plane was the first one to leave afterwards, and I remember grown men crying as we waited to take off, not sure if we were going to make it. Then there was my sister and me jumping up and down with excitement because we were going on a plane to England. Kim, Dental Services Clinical Manager. I've loved the Harry Potter book since I was a child. I'd be in Hufflepuff House because it seems to be a house of outcasts, and I'm okay with that idea. I was gripped from the first book, and I couldn't wait until the next book was published. The stories have good morals in them, and they've influenced 2 of my 3 tattoos. The tattoo on my arm says, Sectum Semper. I'm a long-term mental health sufferer, and I have a scar on my arm from self-harm. But this tattoo, which is a very dark curse that causes a cut, is my way of turning my scar into something positive. The other tattoo is a quote by Sirius Black from the films. It says, "We all have both light and dark in us, but it's what we choose to act on that makes us who we are." That has a real resonance with me. Clara, Data and Information Assistant. I love shredding, and each day I try to beat my target, which is 30 dustbin liners of shredding in one day. I'm hooked, and everyone in the hospital saves their shredding for me. I volunteer because I like meeting people, and I've made lots of friends. We like going to musicals. My favourite is Grease. We always go to a pantomime, and I'm even going to Wimbledon this year. Gary, volunteer and king of the shredder. I always say to people that small changes can make a big difference. Food is there to enjoy, but it's not about suffering. We should have what we want, but in moderation. A healthy lifestyle can give you the most important thing in life, which is happiness. I know what it is like to struggle, but I was determined to pull myself out of it. Running and healthy eating saved my life and pulled me through. Gonzalo, Health Check's Outreach Advisor.
My daughter is 2.5 and we are potty training. I can safely say it's the worst part of parenthood. We had a minor wee incident on the way to nursery the other day and she was adamant she didn't want to get changed. Trying to convince a toddler that it is not acceptable to turn up to nursery in wet knickers, even if they are your favourite, is a challenge I could not have foreseen before becoming a mum. In the space of a couple of minutes, I also had to say to my beautiful girl that we don't lick dustpans, and to take that snail out of her mouth. The conversations you have with a 2-year-old. Beverly, 1U team lead for South Kent Coast and Ashford. I joined KCHFT a few months ago after 18 years working in a main hospital. I have been amazed at how much you are relied on in the community. Teams are smaller and more cohesive, so we support each other really well. But one person going sick or not being here can make a real difference. in bigger hospitals, there are more staff, but here you are relied on so much more, and I love that. It makes me feel like a valued member of an excellent team. Maria, Senior Nurse Practitioner. I have worked for the NHS since 1992 as a healthcare assistant, and then asked to train as an associate practitioner. I never liked school and found it hard to do the course. I was struggling at university, so they sent me for the test. I found out I am dyslexic and dyspraxic. The course was hard and I almost gave up, but I stuck with it and passed. I am really proud of myself. Sam, assistant practitioner. My role is evolving, but essentially I help bridge the gap between a healthcare assistant and a nurse. It's a rewarding job, and one I've been doing for more than 10 years. The role offers a great variety and responsibility, and we have a great team here on Heron Ward. Patients come and go, except for one lady who stayed here for a long time. We came to know the patient very well, enjoyed Christmases and birthdays with her. She liked Gracie Fields. It was a strange day when she eventually left the ward. Charlie, assistant practitioner. My oldest brother died of cystic fibrosis, CF, when he was 13 and I was 7. I missed a whole year of school from the grief. I used to wish for the same thing every time there was a full moon, that my brother would come back. I found out I was a carrier of CF at 16 and I was devastated. The last thing my brother told me was, "Life is what you make it." I have just got married to the love of my life. I hope I am making him proud. Kingsley, Estates Service Manager.
I'm a bodybuilder and have been doing it for 3 years. I've always enjoyed going to the gym, and a fellow gym user thought I was a personal trainer and talked me into competing. I train 6 days a week and I'm working towards my next competition. The highest I've come is third place. At the competition, it's about diva style, so glitzy bikinis are a must. Sue, staff nurse. I came to the UK from Sri Lanka in 2005 to complete a master's degree. I'd spent 23 years as an ophthalmologist in my home country, so it was a culture shock for me. Little things, such as in the UK it's common to use someone's first name, but in my country that is seen as rude. So is looking someone straight in the eye. We tend to avert our eyes, but in the UK that implies you're not listening. These cultural differences are what the Black and Ethnic Minority Network tries to help BME staff with. Habiba, Chair of the Black Minority and Ethnic BME Network. It started as a hobby and now I train 6 days a week. I only started swimming and running around 5 years ago, but now it's a big part of my life. Travelling to the international competitions has given me and my wife the opportunity to holiday in places you would never normally think of. So far, I have won 2 bronze and a silver medal and was the team captain last year. It's a big commitment and the sponsorship only covers your kit, so you still have to find the entry fees. But I'm really proud to be representing Team GB in my age group. Yanis, Market and Information Analyst. I'm working in the UK to support my family. I've been here since 2007. I miss my children, but with Skype and Facebook I can see them every day. I just can't hold them. My son is at university studying hotel management and my daughter wants to be a pilot. She originally wanted to study to be a doctor, but in the Philippines it takes 9 years. She knows I am here to help her study, so she is choosing a university course that is not so long. I want my children to have a good future. Rowena, Healthcare Assistant. I worked on luxury yachts for 3 years after university and travelled to some amazing places. I became really good friends with one of the other crew members and he inspired a love of fitness and nutrition in me. He became a bit of a mentor really, and it's something I've felt passionate about ever since. When I decided 3 years at sea was enough, I became a personal trainer, but it wasn't the right job for me. When this job was advertised, it just spoke to me. Working with children to help give them the best start in life just seemed like the right fit, and I love it. It definitely beats working in a gym all day. George, Health Improvement Assistant. I have 6 children and I'm passionate about fashion and music, so I'm pretty proud I have a fashion designer, grime artist, music not filth, shoe designer and graphics maestro among my brood. My youngest is now a teenager. She's profoundly deaf with cerebral palsy and autism. She's constantly cackling with laughter and keeps me on my toes. We can often be found madly singing to one another in British Sign Language. It's a good job I don't seem to have an off button. Sonia, Clinical and Quality Development Manager for Community Orthopaedics, Chronic Pain and Physiotherapy. KCHFT, Lead Governor.
Vaccines, the modern miracle. When the NHS was created in 1948, who could have imagined what it would look like 7 decades later? From keyhole surgery, MRI, CT scans and treatment for cancer and other diseases, to the introduction of robotic limbs for amputees and treatments for AIDS, HIV. There have been so many modern health miracles. One of the primary aims of the NHS is to promote good health, not simply to treat illness, and that is where vaccinations play a big part. Thanks to the NHS and the people working in it, we have almost eradicated some diseases, such as polio, diphtheria. A vaccination to protect people from polio was the first to be offered free by the NHS in 1958. And that's why they are considered a modern miracle. Nothing has done more to save lives. Before this programme, cases of polio could climb as high as 8,000 in epidemic years, with cases of diphtheria as high as 70,000, leading to 5,000 deaths. Research and development of new vaccinations continues, with the MMR, measles, mumps and rubella combined, and HPV, human papillomavirus, inoculations being introduced in 1988 and 2008, respectively. At KCHFT, we are part of the modern miracle by delivering vaccinations for children and young people. We provide the National Immunisation Programme for school-age children across Kent and soon to be Medway. Our team delivers flu, HPV, diphtheria, tetanus and polio, as well as some strains of meningitis vaccines. Acting head of the School-Aged Immunisation Service, Sally Pullen, said, "Vaccination helps protect children against a range of serious and potentially fatal diseases. Vaccines are safe, extremely effective. If a child isn't vaccinated against a disease, they're at higher risk of catching it and becoming very ill." Since 2013, 5 new vaccines have been joined the NHS routine vaccination programme. These are children's flu vaccine, rotavirus for babies to protect against a virus causing upset stomachs and diarrhoea, shingles vaccine for people aged over 70, the MenB vaccine for babies, and MenACWY for teenagers and students, both to protect against meningitis. Childhood survival has been revolutionised by vaccination programmes, better sanitation and improved standards of living, resulting in better health for both mothers and children. Research is thriving, with more than 150 new vaccines being tested, so watch this space.
Living life loud. Technology in the NHS has made great leaps in the past 70 years. Cochlear implants are among pioneering work that has changed the lives of people diagnosed as profoundly deaf, including a little boy from Tunbridge. Anna Hind went to meet him. 6-year-old Max Maidment is noisy, but it's a trait that his parents don't mind. Max was born without hearing and at just 2 weeks old was diagnosed as profoundly deaf. So to hear him laugh, chatter and be his noisy, energetic self is music to the ears for mum Sam and dad Darren. Sam said he failed the newborn hearing test and that's not uncommon, but then when he was tested again 2 weeks later, we were told he was profoundly deaf. We were shocked and devastated. It's not genetic, it's just one of those things. Max was fitted with hearing aids. However, when these showed no signs of working, the family was referred to Great Ormond Street Hospital for him to have cochlear implants. Max had just turned one when these were fitted and was one of the youngest children in the UK to have the implants. Sam said, it's not been easy and it's taken a long time for his speech to catch up to where it should be. He also rejected them just before he started school, so he spent the start of reception year using signs. We had to return to Great Ormond Street and start all over again with the implants. KCHFT speech and language therapists have been working with Max since he was a year old to help build his communication skills. At the moment, he is under the care of specialist speech and language therapist Gaynor Evans, who sets a programme for the little boy and monitors his progress every two terms. This structured programme is carried out by Lily Wallace, Speech and Language Therapy Associate Practitioner at his school, Slade Primary in Tunbridge. Specialist school staff also help Max with his speech and language targets on a daily basis. Gaynor said, Max has made incredible progress, particularly during the last year, and his speech is understandable to the majority of people. He is now talking in simple sentences, and our aim is to further develop both his understanding and use of spoken language. Cochlear implants have been available to deaf children for about 30 years now. Before this, profoundly deaf children were given hearing aids, which often didn't give them sufficient access to spoken language. So this technology has opened up the communication options for children like Max, which is fantastic. How do cochlear implants work? A cochlear implant works by turning sound into electrical signals and sending them to part of the inner ear called the cochlea. From here, the signals travel to the brain and are heard as sounds. The implant has two main parts, a microphone behind the ear to pick up sound and change it into electrical signals, which are sent along a wire to a device on the skin. A device placed inside the skull, which picks up the electrical signals from the device on the skin and sends them along wires to the cochlea. Before having a cochlear implant, patients are assessed to find out if it will help. The implant will only work if the nerve that sends sound to the brain, the auditory nerve, is properly functioning.
Community care at its very best. In 70 years, the NHS has evolved from Nye Bevan's vision. Hospitals and the way we care have changed, and patients have changed too. Now, people live longer, and with that comes more complex health needs. Today, it is common for patients in our community hospitals to be in their 90s or even aged 100 plus. And at Faversham Cottage Hospital, more than 50% of patients on the wards have dementia. In 2016, KCHFT recruited two specialist geriatrician consultants, Drs. Sheila O'Riordan and Gwen O'Batty, for community hospital teams in East Kent. Sheila and Gweno work closely with nurses and therapists to plan the best care for each person, meeting multidisciplinary teams, MDT, on a daily basis to make decisions. Sheila said, it used to be that patients stayed in hospital, as it was considered safer. But nowadays there is an understanding across the NHS that patients get better in their own homes. Simpler cases, where patients can be discharged home early, take place direct from main hospitals now. So community hospitals mainly see people with more complex needs and who need much longer inpatient care before they can go home. The team at Faversham is incredible. It is supportive of change and keen to make improvements for patients. Sheila also works with a specialist frailty team to review people at home to make sure they can stay there. She explained, it's a much better environment to have those delicate conversations about the future. Everything we do in the frailty team, in community hubs, community hospitals, and us as geriatrician consultants, boils down to good communication with everyone involved. Changing times. More than 20 years ago, patients on the wards at Faversham were local to the town and could be on the wards for years. Sharon Jones, clinical sister, explained, the hospital back then was more like a nursing home. Local people came here and they stayed a very long time, 6 months or more. One patient was here for 4 years. There were crochet blankets all over the beds. Now patients come here from all over East Kent, and they only stay for 1 or 2 weeks before being discharged home or to a residential home. Healthcare assistant Teresa Cole agreed. She said, "We have fewer beds now and they are more spaced out, so patients have more room, which is better for privacy, dignity and infection prevention control. 20 years ago, it was very cramped and old-fashioned." The hospital has embraced a programme called Home First, where hospital staff work closely with community colleagues and in social care to plan for a patient to return home from the first day they arrive. Some patients may not need help, but for those who do, Home First teams are triggered into action to make sure the right support is in place. Patients are seen at home within hours and receive an assessment by a Home First team made up of community nurses, therapists and social care professionals. Therapy. Physio assistant Jeanette Goodall has worked at Faversham for 23 years and has seen improvements firsthand. She remembers when therapists were only on the ward for an hour per day. Now therapists are based at the hospital full time. She said, "Patients used to come in here for continuing care and long-term nursing care, so they stayed for long periods of time. Now, thanks to Home First, they are able to get home quicker. We spend time with the patients every day, making sure they are mobile and safe to go home to continue their recovery." Dementia friendly. The increase in patients with dementia at Faversham has resulted in the hospital making a number of changes. Toilet doors are painted brightly. Cupboards that patients don't use are painted the same colour as the walls, so they blend in. And there are dementia-friendly yellow-faced clocks about the place. There is also a memory board which features memorabilia, old photos and adverts.
The fall knocked my confidence. The kind of care and complexities of patients now admitted to our hospitals provide new challenges every day. At Hawkhurst Cottage Hospital, the ward team tackles this with an everything-is-therapy approach. Physiotherapist Sarah Leach said, "The way we deliver care has definitely changed over the years, and we have to adapt to meet the changing needs of our patients. We see a lot of older, frail people, and their needs are far more significant than before. Gone are the days where someone would come in for a week to recover from a hip replacement operation. Now we are seeing people come in the door from intensive care units or with multiple health conditions. What we want to do is help them recover as much independence as possible so we can get them safely home. The biggest change," said therapy assistant John Curnow, "is the whole team approach of the hospital, which is especially important with the rising number of patients who have dementia or memory loss problems." He said, "Whether it's physical rehabilitation from a therapist, help getting them washed and dressed in the morning from the nursing staff, or making sure they're eating and drinking well from the catering team, every interaction is therapy for their recovery. It means the whole hospital works together to support the patient." 87-year-old Barbara Barham from nearby Benenden was admitted to Hawkhurst after a nasty fall left her with a broken hip. When she first came in, she was nervous and down, yet 1 week later she was walking along the therapy bars unaided. Barbara said, "The fall knocked my confidence, but I can already stand with an aid, and last week I couldn't even get myself out of bed. I feel better in myself already, and the care has been fantastic." Hospital history. If a building could talk. In October 1890, Dr. Fennelheck called a meeting at his home in Hollenby House, Canterbury Road, for supporters of a cottage hospital for Herne Bay. He had received donations of £230 and annual subscriptions of £60 were promised. A provisional committee was formed and it was decided Vine Cottage, New Street, should be bought for £400 and used as a cottage hospital. By July, the house was theirs and Nurse Wilkins from Guy's Hospital was appointed at a salary of £25 per year. In 1901, a new hospital was built on land at the junction of King's Road and Cavendish Road at a total cost of £2,995 to commemorate the legacy of Queen Victoria. Under hospital rules, only people suffering from disease or accident could be accepted, unless suffering from any infectious diseases. This building served the town for 35 years, but due to rising costs and workload, governors decided to look for larger premises. Trustees of the Dents estate offered a site at the top of Mickleburg Hill. On the 20th of September 1935, the foundation stone for the Queen Victoria Memorial Hospital in its current location was laid. The hospital was officially opened on the 23rd of November 1936 and took its first patients in December. Records show that of the 12 patients in the previous hospital, 6 went home and 6 were transported up Mickleburg Hill by St John's Ambulance to the new location. The workload of the new hospital rapidly increased, with the more spacious accommodation and the number of staff also growing. The hospital's kitchen garden was developed to supply vegetables, and chickens were brought in to make sure there was a regular egg supply. In August 1948, the hospital became part of the newly formed NHS under the South East Metropolitan Regional Hospital Board. The League of Friends was formed in 1950. By 1969, a legacy enabled an outpatients department with 5 consulting rooms to be built. The League of Friends furnished the building, and it was opened on the 26th of November 1969. In 1972, day rooms were added to the existing wards. A new physiotherapy department was built in 1979, and the last major development was a community day centre in the late 1980s to support community services and local district care services. In 2017, a minor injury unit was opened to help with urgent care. Despite many changes during the past 30 years, the Queen Victoria Memorial Hospital, supported by its very strong League of Friends, remains a well-loved community asset. It is also a legacy to the foresight and dedication of those influential people who all met at Dr. Fennell Hett's house 127 years ago. With grateful thanks to Margaret Burns and the Herne Bay Historical Records Society, www.hbhrs.org. Did you know that cottage hospitals were often started in private houses? The original Edenbridge Cottage Hospital was started in a house on the High Street. Before the NHS was set up in 1948, cottage hospitals were run by committees. End of life care matters. As our population lives longer, making sure end-of-life care is as good as it can be is at the top of the health agenda. Most importantly, that people die in their preferred place. Teams in our hospitals and in the community work hard with patients and their relatives and carers to achieve this. This summer, We Care conversations are taking place, where end-of-life experts and our champions will be talking to people to understand their experiences of end-of-life treatment, so we can continue to improve what the Trust and its partners deliver. When the NHS was first created, it was primarily concerned with curing people and saving lives, seeing dying as a failure. However, in the late 1950s, there was a shift in approach. Thanks to the work of Dame Cicely Saunders, an advocate for end-of-life care, her first charitable hospice opened in the 1960s. Dame Cicely trained as a nurse, medical social worker and physician. From 1948, she was involved with the care of patients with terminal illness and contributed to a great number of books. By the 1980s, hospitals were widely spread, caring essentially for cancer patients. By 2004, the healthcare system had changed and there were other growing causes of death. In 2008, the government published the End-of-Life Care Strategy for England. The NHS is responsible for providing care from cradle to grave, and now in the community is where most of this care happens. You can hear more about the Trust's end-of-life work in the next issue of Community Health. NHS of the Future? It's all about training and recruiting people. From an exciting new world-class medical school to encouraging health professionals living in London and beyond to adopt a different view and appreciate the benefits of working and living in Kent and Medway, there has never been a better time to consider a future working for the NHS, as Joe Trahan reports. Time doesn't stand still, and neither does medicine. Throughout the past 7 decades, there have been some incredible breakthroughs in treating many awful diseases and conditions. Diagnosis of illness, both minor and major, has become quicker and people are living longer. This is, in some way, due to the excellent training that medical professionals have and the advances in medical research. That's why a new medical school to provide world-class education and training for a new generation of doctors is good news for Kent. The school follows a successful joint bid by the University of Kent and Canterbury Christchurch University to establish the county's first ever medical school. It will bring together existing centres of health education provided by the two universities with local healthcare organisations to offer patient-focused medical education. The school will also be an essential part of recruiting and retaining medical professionals for the region. Glenn Douglas, Chief Executive of Kent and Medway Sustainability and Transformation Partnership, said, "Having a medical school locally is known to provide an essential boost to recruitment and retention, and we know this is vital, particularly in our coastal areas. We want people in Kent and Medway to seriously consider health and care as a career, and the universities will now be offering an extensive range of courses, including medicine, in our region." Principal of Canterbury Christchurch University, Professor Rama Thirunamachandran, and Professor Karen Cox, Vice-Chancellor for the University of Kent, said, "We are delighted that our joint bid for establishing Kent's first medical school was successful. Our ambition is to develop a school that will become a beacon for first-class medical education and research, and the first choice for all those aspiring to achieve excellence in person-centred medical care in the UK. We remain confident that by providing distinctive, socially diverse and insightful graduates, the Kent and Medway Medical School will enable influence and drive changes within the clinical workforce to deliver high-quality healthcare across the region." The bid for the Kent and Medway Medical School was submitted in November 2017. It was the culmination of more than a year's work by both institutions in response to the government's commitment to fund an additional 1,500 medical places by 2020. It received significant support from the region's MPs, local councillors, NHS Trust chief executives and medical directors, as well as other health and education related organisations. It will be supported by Brighton and Sussex Medical School, which will act as the parent institution, one of the requirements of the General Medical Council, as a new medical school is established. A new route into nursing. Earn while you learn. Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust will be offering a nurse apprentice degree course from September 2018. It's a new route into nursing that is fully accredited by the Open University. It's free and you'll be employed and earning a salary while you train, meaning you could qualify debt-free in just 4 years. We'll have more information soon, so keep checking back on our website for details. www.kentcht.nhs.uk. Why not take a different view? You can't provide the best care for patients if you don't have enough of the best employees, and that's why health and social care providers in Kent and Medway joined forces to develop a recruitment campaign called Take a Different View. The campaign promotes Kent as a great place to live and work and showcases the best beaches, countrysides and towns our great county has to offer. The campaign has around 2,000 Facebook followers and more than 25,000 people have visited promoted links on the campaign. It is a partnership of local health services and councils working together to achieve the best for the people of Kent and Medway, making sure the right people are recruited for the right roles. The arrival of child number 6 in a tiny Greenwich house was the prompt for clinical lead Sonia Big and husband Jules to decide on a move to Kent. Sonia, who was working as head of adult therapy services for Lewisham Primary Care Trust, said the family feared they would literally have to put baby Nessie in the bathroom to sleep. Sonia said, "We were living in this tiny house in Greenwich and it was a squash. When the final kid arrived, we thought she'd have to end up sleeping in the bathroom. We couldn't afford to get anything bigger in London and moving to the outskirts would have made little difference. Ramsgate in Kent was a spur of the moment decision. We'd visited a few times and it was beautiful with the architecture and the beaches, so we thought we'd give it a whirl." Sonia and Jules, a graphic designer and now co-owner of the eclectic Ramsgate Music Hall, bought a large house where the kids all had their own room instead of sharing. The equivalent in London would probably have cost about 4 times the amount. And 10 years later, they're convinced they made the right decision. Sonia said, "I had brilliant friends and a great job in London, and I didn't expect to find that again, but it has been fantastic. I have found great people here and a career just as good as the one I had before." Kent, a different view. www.takeadifferentview.co.uk. sharing more than a degree in physics. Who doesn't know the story of brilliant physicist Stephen Hawking and his lifelong battle with motor neuron disease? Like the world-renowned professor, Martin Page has the same debilitating condition. His life is not the one he imagined as a younger man, but Martin's okay with that, as Faye Sinclair discovered. As you walk into the specially built room designed to help Martin Page live as comfortably as he can, the first thing you see is a sign on the wall that says, MND is my Everest, so at least I get to go climbing every day. It's typical of Martin and the active lifestyle he had, and the sense of humour he still has. 4 years after being diagnosed with motor neuron disease, the father of one's body may not be playing ball anymore, but his brain very much is. Wife Joyce, 59, said, Martin loved the outdoor life. He loved climbing, among many things. He noticed his foot was not doing what it should and that it had almost started to drop. Then there were vibrations in his leg. The couple from Kings Hill, Westmorling, married in 1995 after meeting at an insurance company where they both worked. After multiple tests to rule out MND, Martin's GP referred him to a leading neurologist at King's College Hospital to get a second opinion. He confirmed the diagnosis 4 years ago. It was a life-changing moment, Joyce said. We were absolutely devastated, numb, and we knew we had to tell our son. Martin was the way he always is, very practical about what we could do to make the most of the time we have left. And for some time, MND didn't prevent the couple and their 21-year-old son, Oliver, from enjoying life together, going out to favourite places in a wheelchair as Martin's muscles weakened. However, as his physical health deteriorated, Martin started to experience difficulties with talking, walking, or movement. Operating the mouse on his laptop became more difficult. He had already benefited from the help of a company called Environmental Controls, installing equipment enabling him to control various devices in his room at the push of a button. It suggested trying a head mouse device, which sat on the top of his screen and tracked a reflective dot on his head. Using this, and with help from Joyce and an adapted switch to use in his hand, he was able to type on his beloved MacBook. But as he became weaker and unable to move his body, he needed more support. And that is where the adult team from our Kent and Medway Communication and Assistive Technology Service stepped in, providing an eye gaze tablet that enabled Martin, 52, to communicate but to do much more. The eye gaze tablet helps Martin to communicate and interact. By looking at control keys or cells displayed on a screen, he can generate speech by typing a message or selecting pre-programmed phrases. He did need some convincing at first. Over time, as my muscles deteriorated, I lost strength. It was then I first met Julie and the team. They convinced me to try an eye gaze tablet, and after my initial reluctance, my fears were quashed. I was given a bigger tablet and the parts to mount the tablet on my wheelchair and a mobile stand for over my bed. As a result of Martin's background, he was a freelance programmer, he had already figured out a way to control most devices in his room. With the eye gaze, he installed and configured software on the tablet so he could control all the devices using his eyes. Occupational therapist Julie Bradford, who trained at the University of East Anglia, said, Martin is an inspiration and it's great working with him, making sure he has what he needs to be able to effectively communicate. We are a specialised service, so tend to have no more than 10 patients on each person's caseload at a time, meaning we can devote more time to helping people adapt and cope with their complex conditions. Using eye gaze technology, Martin tells us his story. I received my diagnosis in June 2014. It's easy to remember the date. It was our son's 17th birthday. At first, the effect of the illness wasn't visible to anyone, but by October, I could no longer walk long distances, so needed a wheelchair. I owe a debt of care and love I can never repay. I am a very, very lucky man who wouldn't be here today without all the care and attention from my wife, Joyce. As my condition progresses, so has the list of things that Joyce does for me, like washing and dressing me, feeding and watering me, medication, moving me and any equipment I may need, as well as talking to the health professionals that are involved in my case. She keeps me happy, stress-free and comfortable. When I was diagnosed, it was a relief. That may surprise you, but there are plenty more ailments that are far, far worse. I have no pain, I still have all feeling in my body and no loss of mental capacity. I read or heard somewhere recently of someone who had another terminal illness, and they said it is a privilege to know when you are going to die. I agree. I don't have a precise date, but I have had the gift of time, which enables me to say goodbye to family and friends, put my affairs in order, and an opportunity to express the love I have for my family and friends. Many people don't get that opportunity. I have only need to turn on the news to see how lucky I am. I consider this my second life, this time as a disabled person. I have been given the opportunity to experience life from a different perspective. I have no illusions that we have been fortunate to be able to stop work and have my special room built, which won't be the experience of many disabled or able-bodied people. But I have experienced so many wonderful acts of kindness from people who don't know me from Adam and whose role in life is not caring for disabled people. I have had my faith in humanity restored on lots of occasions. So yes, living with MND can be tough, but it is harder for the people who love me. I am very happy, which I know surprises and confuses people, especially those who know what an active life I had before. I guess I must be a glass half full type of person. Kent and Medway Communication and Assistive Technology Service. The service assesses and works with clients with complex needs. Its work includes all communication other than speech used to express thoughts, needs, wants and ideas, and equipment to help with tasks they would otherwise be unable to do. The service has two teams, adults based in Canterbury and children's based in Ashford. It is a partnership service between Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust, East Kent Hospitals University NHS Foundation Trust and Kent County Council. Find out more at www.kentcht.nhs.uk/KMCAT.
What's up, Gov? What does the NHS mean to our governors? Nearly 30 years of hard graft in the NHS has given me amazing friendships with incredible colleagues who support each other through thick and thin. You can't get better than that in any job. Sonia Big, Staff Governor for Adult Services and Lead Governor. The NHS and its core principle of care before cost is what makes me most proud of the country I live in. Peach Sutton, Gravesham Governor. It's there for all of us. David Price, Maidstone Governor. It's been 70 years of underpinning the health of the nation and inspiring confidence in us all. Joe Clifford, Shepway Governor. Being a governor in the NHS allows me unprecedented insight into the complexities of the Trust's services. Carol Coleman, Dover Deal Governor. A great service built up over 70 years with very dedicated nursing staff, but too much emphasis on acute treatment and not enough on prevention. Nigel Stratton, appointed Governor, Age UK. For me, it's about looking after our health for life, not just when we are ill. Mary Straker, Canterbury Governor. A national institution that has weathered many storms, saved countless lives, and one I have been proud to work in. Dr. Susan Plummer, appointed Governor, Kent's Universities. The NHS cared for my children as they came into the world and cared for my wonderful grandmother through the final stages of dementia. It is a system that provides care for all at their time of greatest need. Amy Heskett, Staff Governor for Adult Services. Over the years, the NHS has changed a lot, and more change will be coming our way. But there is one thing, the most important thing, that will always be the same. It is an organisation made up of people who are truly dedicated in supporting and caring for others, no matter what. Maria Lucio Bratsu, Staff Governor for Children and Families. Without this amazing institution, I wouldn't have been born safely into this world, received specialist care as a sick child, had several generations of family and friends treated and cared for when they needed it the most, to positively experience bringing my own children safely into this world, and to work for an organisation that has provided me with a most interesting and varied professional career. Thank you, NHS 70. I am grateful to be part of your journey. Claire Buckingham, Staff Governor for Health and Wellbeing. When people ask me what I do, I am proud to say I work for the NHS and I have great colleagues with the same outlook. In which other country would you receive the care that is available to all of us? The NHS is a fantastic provider of care. Jan Allen, Staff Governor for Corporate Services. We have new people. Welcome to our governors, newly elected at the end of March, and who have already got stuck into their roles as part of our Council of Governors. They are elected governors, Dartford, Avtar Sandhu, Sevenoaks, John Harris. Staff, Adult Services, Dr. Amy Heskett. Children and Families, Maria Lucia Bratsu. Corporate Services, Jan Allen. Appointed Governors, Age UK, Nigel Stratton. Head Teachers Association, Matthew Wright.
The changing face of the NHS. Throughout its 70-year journey, the NHS has witnessed its fair share of political controversy. But more importantly than that, it has seen some significant health reforms, as Beverly Bryant found out. July 1948, a momentous day. On the 5th of July 1948, the NHS was born. Thanks to the National Health Service Act of 1946, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, opticians, dentists and hospitals united as one UK-wide organisation. 1952. Legislation is passed to allow for a 1 shilling or 5 pence prescription charge. NHS creator Nye Bevan resigns in protest at the charges, which are abolished in 1965 to be reintroduced in June 1968. 1959. The Mental Health Act replaces much legislation around providing mental health services in England, including the Lunacy and Mental Treatments Acts. Mental health services are brought under the NHS umbrella. 1961. The contraceptive pill, which suppresses female fertility using hormones, is made widely available, initially only for married women, but the law is relaxed in 1967. 1965. A review of social services recommends the amalgamation of children, elderly and mental welfare services to form a single social services council department. 1968. Ministries of Health and Social Security are merged to form the Department of Health and Social Security. 1974. The Committee of Inquiry into the Pay and Related Conditions of Service for Nurses and Midwives recommends integration of grading and pay. 1982. 192 district health authorities are formed to simplify NHS management structures. 1989. Working for Patients, a government white paper, proposes a split between providers and purchasers of care to drive service efficiency. June 1990. The NHS and Community Care Act 1990 creates a purchaser-provider market where purchasers, mainly health authorities and GPs, are given budgets to buy services from providers. 1991. The Patient's Charter outlines the quality of service a patient can expect and introduces specific targets for waiting times for treatments. 1997. The Primary Care Act allows new arrangements for delivering care with GP practices encouraged to increase flexibility and choice. 2000. The NHS Plan outlines plans for better access to hospitals with more doctors, nurses and beds by 2010, and focus on decreasing waiting times. 2010. Robert Francis QC publishes his damning inquiry report into Mid Staffordshire NHS Foundation Trust and poor care. 2014. The NHS 5-year forward view sets out a new shared vision for the future of the NHS based on new models of care. 2017. In all 44 areas covering England, the NHS and local councils form Sustainability and Transformation Partnerships, STPs, to improve health and social care. Your guide to local minor injury units. We provide more than 60 services across Kent, East Sussex and London to keep you in the best of health.
For many of our services, you will need a referral from a GP or other healthcare professional. However, there are services you can contact yourself. Here are some you might find useful. Minor Injuries Units, MIU, run by KCHFT. Cuts or bruises, strains or sprains, or possibly broken bones, you don't need an appointment to pop into one of our minor injury units. Some of our units treat minor illnesses too. Edenbridge and District War Memorial Hospital, Mill Hill, Edenbridge, TN85DA. Phone 01732 862 137. 8:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. every day of the year. Closed Christmas Day. X-ray 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday, Wednesday and Friday. Closed between 1 and 2 p.m. Gravesham Community Hospital, Bath Street, Gravesend, DA11 0DG. Phone 01474 360816. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Royal Victoria Hospital, Folkestone, Radnor Park Avenue, Folkestone CT19 5BN. Phone 01303 852727. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday. Seven Oaks Hospital, Hospital Road, Seven Oaks, TN13 3PG. Phone 01732 470200. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. Sheppey Community Hospital, Plover Road, Minster-on-Sea, ME12 3LT. Phone 01795 879 104. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the year, closed Christmas Day. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. Sittingbourne Memorial Hospital, Bell Road, Sittingbourne, ME10 4DT. Phone 01795 418 300. 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Saturday and Sundays, including bank holidays. Victoria Hospital, Deal, London Road, Deal, CT14 9UA. Phone 01304 865 437. 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. every day of the year. X-ray 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday to Friday, closed bank holidays. For more information about MIUs listed here, please visit www.kentcht.nhs.uk/MIU. Need waiting times for MIUs and A&Es in East Kent? Download Waitlist from the App Store or Google Play. For information about other health services, go to Health Help Now at www.healthhelpnow-nhs.net. If you need advice or treatment and don't know where to go, please phone 111 before visiting an accident and emergency centre. Your local pharmacist may also be able to advise. You can find details at www.nhs.uk. MIUs run by other providers include Canterbury, Kent and Canterbury Hospital, Ethelbert Road, Canterbury, CT1 3NG. Phone 01227 766 877. Switchboard www.ekhuft.nhs.uk. Open 24 hours a day. X-ray 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Crowborough War Memorial Hospital, Southview Road, Crowborough, TN6 1HB. Phone 01892 603602, www.sussexcommunity.nhs.uk, 8am to 8pm. Last booking is at 7:45pm, every day of the year, closed Christmas Day. X-ray 9am to 4:15pm, Monday to Friday. Dover Buckland Hospital, Coombe Valley Road, Dover, CT 17, 0HD. Phone 01304 222 621. www.ekhuft.nhs.uk. 8am to 8pm every day of the year. X-ray 9am to 4:45pm, Monday to Friday. East Grinstead, Queen Victoria Hospital, Holt Road, East Grinstead, West Sussex, RH19 3DZ. Switchboard 01342 414 000. www.qvh.nhs.uk. 8am to 8pm every day of the year. X-ray 9am to 5pm. Monday to Friday, 9am to 1pm Saturday and Sunday, and 10am to 1pm bank holidays. Faversham, Faversham Health Centre, Bank Street, Faversham, ME13 8QR. Phone 01795 562 011. www.favershammedicalpractice.nhs.uk. 8am to 8pm every day of the year. X-ray 10am to 4pm Monday to Friday. Gillingham Balmoral Gardens Walking Centre, Balmoral Gardens, Gillingham, ME7 5LF. Phone 01634 331177. www.medwayhealthcarecentre.nhs.uk. 8am to 8pm every day of the year, no X-ray service. Herne Bay, Queen Victoria Memorial Hospital, King Edward Avenue, Herne Bay, Kent, CT6 6EB. Phone 01227 594 700. www.parksurgery.net. 8am to 8pm every day of the year, no X-ray service. Whitstable Estuary View Medical Centre, Borman Way, Whitstable, CT5 3SE. Phone 01227 284309. www.whitstablemedicalpractice.co.uk. 8am to 8pm every day of the year. X-ray 8am to 8pm, Monday to Friday. MIUs operated by GPs include Ashford, Kingsnorth, Kingsnorth Medical Practice, Ashford Road, Kingsnorth, Ashford, TN23, 3ED. Phone 01233 610 140. www.kingsnorthmedicalpractice.co.uk. 8am to 6:30pm, Monday to Friday. Closed bank holidays. No X-ray service. Ashford, Willsborough. Willsborough Health Centre, Bentley Road, Willsborough, Ashford, TN24 0HZ. Phone 01233 621 626. www.willsboroughhealthcentre.co.uk. 8am to 6:30pm, Monday to Friday. Closed bank holidays and weekends and no X-ray service. Aylsham. Aylsham Medical Practice. Queen's Road, Aylsham, CT3 3BB. Phone 01304 840415. www.aylshammedicalpractice.co.uk. 8am to 6pm, Monday to Friday. Closed bank holidays and weekends and no X-ray service. Charing. Charing Practice, Surgery Close, Charing, Ashford, TN27, 0AW.
Phone 01233 714 490. www.charingpractice.co.uk. 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday. Closed bank holidays and weekends and no x-ray service. Ham Street. Ham Street Surgery, Rookins Road, Ham Street, Ashford TN26 2NJ. Phone 01233 730 190. www.hamstreetsurgery.com. 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday. 9 a.m. to 12 noon Sunday. No x-ray service. Romney Marsh. Orchard House Surgery, Bleak Road, Lydd, Romney Marsh, TN29 9AE. Phone 01797 320307. www.orchardhousesurgery.nhs.uk. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. Closed weekends and bank holidays. No x-ray service. Tenterden, Ivy Court Surgery, Tenterden, TN30 6RB. Phone 01580 763 666. www.ivycourtsurgery.co.uk. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. 9 a.m. to 12 noon Saturday to Sunday. No x-ray service. Woodchurch. Woodchurch Surgery, Front Road, Woodchurch, Ashford, TN26 3SF. Phone 01233 860236. www.woodchurchsurgery.co.uk. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. No x-ray service. Y Surgery, Oxenton Road, Y, TN25 5AY. Phone 01233 220699. www.ysurgery.co.uk. 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. No x-ray service. Your directory of community services. We provide more than 60 services to keep you in the best of health. For many of our services, you will need a referral from a GP or healthcare professional. However, there are services you can contact yourself. Here are some you might find useful. Children's therapies. Physiotherapists, occupational therapists, speech and language therapists, special nurse advisors, key workers and therapy assistants who provide a specialist therapy service for disabled children from birth to 19 years old. You can find full details at www.kentcht.nhs.uk. Customer care team. If you have a comment, complaint or compliment, call the customer care team. Phone 0300 123 1807. Text 07899 903 499. Email kcht.cct@nhs.net. Dental. General Dental Services provide a full range of NHS dental treatments for patients in a high street setting. Churchill Dental Practice, Ramsgate and New Street Dental Practice, Sandwich. Phone 0300 303 4930. Falls Prevention, East Kent. 12-week prevention and assessment service for anyone at risk of falling or who has fallen. Folkestone and Ashford, phone 01303 854 488. Swale, Hernbay and Whitstable, phone 01875 879193. Thanet, phone 01843 254 134. Email kcht.fallskent@nhs.net. Kent Continence Service, advice and support for anyone with bladder and bowel problems. Phone 0300 790 0310.
Kent Continence Business Office Product Delivery Service, phone 0300 123 1955 or 0330 123 4459. Newborn Hearing Screening Programme. This service offers high-quality newborn hearing screening and safe and effective assessment for babies in West Kent, Medway and Swale. Phone 0300 123 3071. Physiotherapy. In some areas you can contact the service direct, in others you will need a referral. Call to find out more. Phone 0300 123 0854. Podiatry and foot care. Our podiatry team specialises in foot health, from common foot problems to more complicated conditions needing surgical correction. You need to be referred by a GP or healthcare professional. Phone 0300 123 6756. Toenail cutting service. Starting at £13 per session, we can cut your toenails for you. Ideal for people who find it hard to look after their feet and who are not entitled to this care through the NHS. Please book in advance. Phone 0300 123 1554. www.kentcht.nhs.uk/nails. Sexual health. Worried about symptoms, need contraception or just looking for advice? We run daytime and evening clinics with walk-in and appointment sessions. Services run across Kent. Please contact us for more information. Phone 0300 790 0245. Medway, KCHFT, .medwaysexualhealth@nhs.net. Kent, KCHFT.sexualhealthservice@nhs.net. South East Drivability. Assessment and advice on driving, car adaptation and car choice for disabled drivers and passengers. Email kcht.sedrivability@nhs.net. Phone 0300 013 4886. Advice for carers. Carers Trust. National charity with a network of partner organisations providing services to carers. Phone 0844 800 4361. Web www.carers.org. Carers UK. Carers UK helps millions of people who look after an older, disabled or seriously ill family member or friend. Phone 0808 808 7777. Web www.carersuk.org. Carers Direct. Confidential information and advice for carers. Phone 0300 123 1053. Web www.nhs.uk/carers direct. East Kent Carers Consortium. Provides carer assessment and support services by identifying family carers and arranging for their needs to be assessed, working closely with Carers First and Involve Kent. Web www.eastkentcarers.org.uk. Kent County Council. Find out what help is available for carers. Phone 03000 416161. For emergency support out of hours, phone 03000 419191. Web www.kent.gov.uk. You can also find more help and advice on our website www.kentcht.nhs.uk/carers. 1U Kent. Free services by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust. As part of the 1U Kent programme, we provide 1U Lifestyle Advisors. Small changes can make a big difference and we can support you to make the changes that will work for you. So whether you want to quit smoking, lose weight, or just generally feel better about life, we can help. 1. You smoke-free. Most smokers want to quit, and if you're one of them, we can help. We have clinics and groups at times and days to suit most people. If you can't get to us, we can offer telephone appointments or consultations via Skype. You can even get nicotine replacement therapy on prescription. 1. U weight loss. If you want to lose weight and keep it off, you can join one of our 1. U weight loss groups. Sessions are free and cover healthy eating on a budget, portion control, food labelling and getting active. It's based on guidelines from the British Heart Foundation. Please note this is East Kent only. For healthy weight services in West Kent, contact your local borough council. 1. U health walks. Led by friendly volunteers, health walks are great for people who are recovering from illness or who need an extra bit of motivation to take more exercise. They are fun, friendly and free. No need to book. NHS health checks. If you're aged 40 to 74, you could be eligible for a free NHS health check. Health checks take just 30 minutes and can help to check your risk of developing heart disease, diabetes or kidney disease in the future. Speak to your GP or call us on 0300 123 1220 to find a clinic near you. We can also provide checks in workplaces. Just call to find out more. Email 1u.kent@nhs.net or visit www.1ukent.org.uk. Because there's only 1 U. And that concludes the reading of the summer 2018 edition of Community Health, Caring for You Close to Home, provided by Kent Community Health NHS Foundation Trust.